We begin the current daven, Sechtes Krisis Dav Vav. Begin 17 lines down the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of the opening Mishnah of this parak of this Masechta, Sechtes Krisis, regarding 36 different types of categories that one, if one violates deliberately without a warning, gets karas, dying young, without any children, and b'shegig being chayav kar mechatas. So one of the cases was, as the Mishnah said, hamafatim esakateris. Someone compounds the exact ingredients that are done for the incense in the Beis Hamikdash. That is a violation of karas. So Tanur ben Amunah b'raisa qualifying this halacha. Hamafatim esakateris. If someone compounds a keteris, but he does it lamedba to teach regarding it, or he's doing it to give it over to the public, then pater. Then he's exempt. La'riachba. But if he's doing it because he wants to smell it, that's chayav. That's the liability that the Torah talks about. That type of compounding, if you're doing without utility, that's what's forbidden. Now, moreover, v'hamariachba, someone who actually goes and does smell the actual keteris of the tzibra of the public is actually pater. I mean, you're not allowed to compound the, which is the iser, if you're doing it for the purposes of smelling. But if someone who actually smells the keteris that are being done by the tzibra by in the Beis Hamikdash, pater is exempt. He hasn't violated anything. Elishamol, but he has committed misappropriation of having benefit from something of Hekdash, which is forbidden. Which the Gemara says, Umiyaka mi'ila bereach. So he's saying there's no special isra about smelling that of the, but you not have benefit from anything of Hekdash, which includes smelling the Keteris. Says Gemara, Umiyaka mi'ila bereach, is there a halacha misappropriation by smell? But Va'amr, Rishim ben Pazi, Rishim ben Levi, Rishim bar Kapar, he says, there are three things from three different senses. Koil, sound, if someone hears the voice, the sound of the harps and the nevalim, different types of stringed instruments of the klisharis, when they would sing the shir in the Beis Hamikdash. Umara, or vision, someone has pleasure from looking at something beautiful in the heichal, in the sanctuary. Vireach, and smelling the keteris, ein ben mishum me'ila, there's no halacha misappropriation in these three senses of sight, sound, and smell. So how are you saying that there's me'ila by smelling the keteris? Says the Gemara, Reach, when did we say that for smelling there's no me'ila? That's achar shetala temrasa. That's after that the keteris has already been lit on fire and the smoke is coming up, where the mitzvah of burning the keteris has already been committed. Then eba mishamila. Then there's no misappropriation. Sha'arei ein lecha davar, because there isn't anything achar shenasa mitzvasa. After the mitzvah was fulfilled, umaylamba, that there should be misappropriation, because the mitzvah was already done, it's not considered a hekdash item anymore. That's what Rav Shimon ben Paz was saying, that there's no me'ila. But when we said there's me'ila for smelling the keteris, that's before the mitzvah was done. Then it's still hektish. Then there's going to be a committing of me'ila if one would go ahead and smell the keteris. Which the Gemara asked on the principle we just said. Alam alai, why are you saying not? Why are you saying that there's no me'ila for something that a mitzvah was already done, and therefore in general smelling the keteris in the Beis Hamikdash, which was the mitzvah was already done, there's no me'ila? But Vari Truma said Deshin, you have the lifting up of the shovelful of the ashes of the Mizbeach, which is put on the side of the Mizbeach, the Nasis Mitzvasa, Umayalamba. The mitzvah is already done, you already did Truma Sedeshin, and yet there's misappropriation over there because the Pasuk says, Visama, you should place the ashes near the Mizbeach, which as we're going to expound later on, says that it has to be placed there forever, has to be concealed over there, has to stay there. Meaning you can't take it, you can't have benefit from it. So you see, even though the mitzvah is done, there's still a halacha me'ila. Says the Gemara, yeah, that's Mishum Dabat Truma Sadesh, and that's because that halacha of the ashes which were taken off, Ubig De Kahuna, and the Kahana garments that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippurim, are Shnei Ksum Abam Keachad. There are two psukim saying the same idea, that even though the mitzvah is done, they're forbidden. V'chol Shnei Ksum Abam Keachad Im Olam, to the contrary, when you have two psukim saying the same idea, then they can't teach us that halacha, because say it once, and then we would have learned out the other thing too. If you're saying by both, obviously you can't learn out from there, and therefore that's not going to be a source for us to say, even though mitzvah is done, that there's still it's still going to be forbidden. So the Gemara says, okay, hanichal Rabban, that's well according to Rabban. El Rabdeisa Meikla Meima, but according to Rabdeisa, as we're going to explain right now, according to him, what are you going to answer? Because the time you learn the Braisim, the Pasuk says, Im Vayikra, it says that Aaron comes to the Oil Mayid, he takes off his linen garments that he wore when he came into the holiest of the holies on Yom Kippur, he wears white garments, and then he takes it off, v'hnichim sham, and he leaves it over there. He places it over there. Says the Tanna Kama, say the Rabbanim alamachu to uniganizi. That teaches that the garments that he wore special for Yom Kippurim, which are the four regular garments that a kohen hedyot wears, that they have to be buried over there. They have to be left over there. Now Reb Daisam, he says, no, k'sherin hen l'kohen hedyot. No, those garments are valid for a common kohen who wears those same type of garments all year round. Where does it mean that he should leave it over there? It means Shleish ben Yom Kippur Macha. Just means he can't wear it the following Yom Kippur. But it is permitted afterwards. So according to Rabban, we have two psukim saying the same idea, which you have by the Trumas edition, and you have the garments that the Kohen Gadol will wear in Yom Kippur, that no one could use it. So they're saying the same idea, but according to Rabbi Deis, it's not saying the same idea. It's actually saying that it is permitted. It's not problematic after that it was used because it was already used. It's Nasa Mitzvasi. So you only have one halacha of Trumas Adeshin. Why don't we learn that from over there? You see that even though it's Nasa Mitzvasi, it's going to be forbidden. It says the Gemara, you're right. You don't have the garments of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, but it's because Meshum have a Trumas Adeshin be'eglar rufa. Because you have the Trumas Adeshin, like we mentioned before, and you have the decapitated calf, which when they find a dead person on the road, they don't know who killed them. The closest city has to bring a calf and decapitate it. Are Shnei Gesum Abom Ke'echad. Those are two psukim saying the same idea, that even though it's Nasa's mitzvah, so it's still going to be forbidden. Since they're saying the same idea, you can't learn that from over there. Never, that can't be a source for us to say that something that already was done, that it's going to be forbidden. And to the contrary, we say if it's done, like we said regarding the smelling of the guitars, that it's already permitted. Says Gemara, Trumas Adeshin Mahi. What's this halacha that we're quoting all along that we're saying about Trumas Adeshin, that even though the mitzvah was done, it's still going to be forbidden? The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa. Pasuk says, in Bayikra, it says regarding the kayin, that he wears certain garments that he puts on, and behemis adeshin, he does trumas adeshin, which ashatechel eshes ha'olam mizbeach, which the fires have consumed from that which is brought up on top of the mizbeach, and says v'samay etzel ha'mizbeach, he places it near the altar. When it says he places it over there, it tells us malamach tuniganiza, that has to be hidden over there, has to be buried over there, has to stay there forever. That's to say he has to place it over there. And so to egla rufa mahi, what's the halacha of the decapitated calf? Because ten, like Linda Breitza, the pasuk in the Devarim, it says that the elders of the city, they bring the calf el nachal esan to the valley, ashal yavid bo b'lo yizar, which is not worked and is not planted, and it says v'arfu shom es egla manachal, that they decapitate the calf over there in that valley. Now, from the fact that it says over there, sounds like, yeah, because that's what over there has to always remain over there. Just like v'samoy means it has to be there forever and has to be hidden. So to sham sounds like it has to be there and has to be buried there forever. Malamet shet una geniza. That tells us that it has to be buried over there. So you have shnei k'sum abom ke'echad, and therefore ein malamdin. Moreover, says the Gemara, ulamando m'shnei k'sum abom ke'echad malamdin. And even though there is an opinion that says that in general, even if you have two psukim teaching the same idea, you could learn that from over there. Here, even that opinion would hold that no, they cannot teach regarding other contexts that if the mitzvah is done, that it's still going to be forbidden. Because it's not just two pesukim the same idea; they're also excluding other contexts. Because betrumas adeshing siv v'samay says you should place it, which is exclusionary terminology to say hadin in. Yeah, here is where we're going to say even though the mitzvah was done, it's still going to be forbidden. But midachrinaloi other contexts not. And so the Gabi Egla Rufa Ksiv, Ha'arufa, it says by the decapitated calf, the decapitated one, which is also exclusionary to say, and the Gemara says, he in, this yes, midachri niloi, but anything else, if the mitzvah is already done, like we said before, regarding the reach of the Ketiris, that they already burnt it, and you're smelling the post, the smoke that's coming out afterwards, that's not going to be problematic to commit me'ila. Tanu Barlinda Braisa, which is a famous Braisa that we say with Karbanis, Pitmak Teres, which is the context that we're discussing over here regarding the prohibition of a regular person compounding the Keteres, which was that which was done in the Beis HaMikdash, says the Braisa, Pitmak Teres, how do they compound? What are the ingredients? How do they make the Keteres, the incense? So says the Braisa as follows. Hatsari, which is the sap that drips, it's called Sraf HaNotav, as we're going to explain later on, which is Srat HaNotiv Ma'atzak Tav, it's the sap that drips from trees which have sap, specifically the balsam tree, ketuf, and sraf is something that drips from a tree, which is called gumma. So the tsari, which is that sap, fatzi pyrin, which is shcheles, which is mentioned that in the Torah, which the Aramaic translation is tufra, which means fingernail. And the reason why it's called tzipyrin, which is fingernail, is because it's as smooth like a fingernail. That's tzipyrin, which is the shcheles. Vachelbana, which is gelbana, which is also a type of spice, v'halavayna and frankincense. So regarding all these four, mishkal, the weight of each one of them was shivim, and the Gersa takes out the word shell, shivim mana. Each one was 70 mana, a weight of 70 mana. Now, a mana is like a weight of 100 silver dinar, each mana. So each one had 70 mana weight of that ingredient. Moreover, there was myrrh, which is myrrh, Fiktsia, it's cassia. Shibolis nerd, which Rashi says is very sharp, and it's called spig. Vacharchem and saffron. Mishkal, shisha aser, again taking out the word shell, shisha aser mana. Each one of these were 16 mana apiece, which means that's how much weight of that spice there was for the compounding of the keteres. Then there's hakoisht, or it's hakoist, which was shneim aser, which was 12 mana. And you have kilufa, which literally means, say, the peel, which is the bark of the tree, which is a certain type of spice, which is called kilufa, which was shloisha, that was 3 mana. Then you have vikinaman, which is cinnamon, which was tisha, which was nine mana, which the total of that makes what we just described is 368 mana. So those are the primary spices. Then there are additional ingredients that are put in to go ahead and complement and supplement these spices. You have boris karshina, which boris means soap. So it's either karshina soap, which comes from that place of karshina, or it's actually referring to a certain type of a herb, which from that they would squeeze out and make this soap called safaini, which that was tisha kavet, 9 kav of that ingredient. Yain kafrisin. Then you have either the wine that comes from this place called kafris, or actually refers to that they would make from the husks of a tree called kafris, as we find elsewhere, that slafin, the kafrisin, that from that they would make this wine. Was sin talasa v'kavin talasa. It was 3 sa and 3 kavin. Now, im ein lo yin kafrisin, if they don't have this kafris wine, so maybe chame chavarin atik, then it would bring old white wine. Additionally, melech sedoimis, they would bring the sedoimet salt, which is a certain type of a salt, reva, a quarter of a kav. And mala ashen, which is a certain type of a herb, and as its name is, it means that the smoke, it would make the smoke go straight up, was called a minute amount. Now, Rav Nosnam, he says, af kipas ayarin, also Jordanian amber, which it's because that herb grew on the edge of the Jordan River, was called also a minute amount. Now, Vim Nosnam, but the vash, if they put into the keteres honey, possibly that would invalidate it because the pasuk says in the Yikra Beis, called sa'arba chol devash, you're not supposed to sacrifice any leavening or any dough. Now, chisa achas mikalsa memena, if there's missing even one of any of these ingredients, chayiv misa, then he would be liable for the death penalty, which Rashi says, referring to if the Kohen Gadol, when he comes in Yom Kippurim, where the Pasuk says, Val yava b'chalei sila kadish, and I'll come in just in the Kaddish whenever he wants to, and therefore v'lo yamas, that he shouldn't die, rather by the zaysi yavei aron, how could he come in, is when he's bringing in the keteres. But if he's bringing it not halachically sound, because it's missing one of the ingredients, so he's coming in for nothing, then he would be chayiv misa for coming to the Kaddish. Now, Reb Shimon Eimer, which he's coming to qualify the ingredients that we mentioned, he says, Hatsari, which was the first one that we mentioned, he says, Eina Elo, it's only Sraf Hanaitiv Matzaktaf. It's sap that drips from the balsam tree. And Boris Karshina, regarding this, that we said that we take along this Karshina soap, he says, why? It's Sheshaf and Basitzparin, because they would rub the Tzipirin with this soap. Why would they do that? Kadesh Deino, so that it should be beautiful because it was black, and therefore they would rub it with this Karshina soap. Now, Yain Kafrisin, why would they bring the Kafrisin wine? Because Shesharin Ba'asas Tzipurin, because they would soak the Tzipurin in it. Why? Kadesh De'aza, so that it should have a strong aroma. Now, V'haloi Meraglayim Yafalam, but isn't urine better to do that? But Elishay Machnis Meraglayim LaMikdash, but the thing is, but we don't bring urine into the Mikdash, into the temple, and they would compound the Keteres in the Azara, so therefore it's not appropriate, even though urine would work better, it's not appropriate to bring urine into the Azara. Says the Gemara, from the fact that they didn't take out the herbs and put in the urine and then bring it back into the Azara, so that wouldn't be a violation of bringing urine itself into the Azara. Because the Amr that he says, it says in the Pasuk in Shmais regarding the Keteres, that you should grind it down very finely, and it says, Kaidishi, it's holy, Kaidish Tilachem, it should be holy for you, which teaches, Kol Maseo Leyu El B'Kaidish, all its activities should only be in the holy place, meaning the Azara, and therefore they couldn't use urine. However, on this concept, the Gemara asks Meisvi. The Gemara asks from the Mishnah Masechta Shkal. The Mishnah says, Hamakdish Nechasav. Someone sanctifies his estate, which generally we assume when someone is Makdish items, it's going to the Bedek Abayish, to the temple upkeep. But there were items that were fit to be brought as karbanas, to be sacrificed for the tzibur on the Mizbech, which the halacha is, if someone sanctifies properties that could be brought themselves as a karban on the Mizbech, then they can't leave from the domain of the Mizbech. So if it's fit for an individual, you have to sell it to an individual who needs a carbon. And if it's fit for the tzibur, the problem is you can't sacrifice it straight, because that has to be bought from the monies which were given by all of Klal Yisrael to be considered carbon tzibur. So you can't just use this things that the person donated and use it for the tzibur. So therefore what you have to do is, since it's fit for the tzibur to bring as a carbon, you give it to the craftsmen that work on the temple, on the temple building and on the edifice, on the structure, and you pay their wages with these, with this that was donated by this person, which the Gemara is going to explain, as explains elsewhere in the Sechta Shkolim, where there it explains actually talking about specifically the craftsmen of Beis Aftinus, which they were the ones who made the Keteris. However, explains the Gemara as follows. So this says in Mishnah Sechta Shkolim that you, these things which were fit for the carbon tzibur, but they would give the wages to the craftsmen. Says the Gemara, Hani Devar Maru Maininu, what are these things that are fit for a carbon of the tzibur that was saying that, okay, so then you can't just use it for anything, has to end up for the carbon tzibur, as we're going to explain how did it help by giving it to the wages of the craftsmen. But what were these dvam haruin? Says Gemara, ibehim b'chai, if it's referring to an animal or a chai, which Rashi says chai is lavdavka, because you don't bring a chai as a carbon for the tzibur, no chai is brought as carbonis, but it means an animal, but tanale. But that, the Mishnah already says over there, mesech deshkalim, which are actually things that are fit to be for the yachid and for the tzibur. So it already mentions that, and that wouldn't be what we're mentioning here in Mishnah Masech Tishkalim of Dvarim Harun L'Karpan Satsib. I Yenishman V'Selassis, if it's referring to wines or oils or flowers, Tanale, the Mishnah already says it, that what the halacha is, what you do with it. So Elalav Keteris rather says the Gemara, obviously it's referring to Keteris, which that's something that's only fit for the tzibur. Obviously that you make Keteris from unconsecrated out of the Azara, because we're talking about somebody's estate. And we're saying that he has something which could be brought as a carbon for the tzibur, and that's only fit for the tzibur, which are not all the other items we just mentioned before. What is that? What's only fit for the tzibur? It's keteris. And it's in his house. That's difficult contribution to Bechanina, who he said that no, it has to be compounded in the Azara. So Amr Baishi says that no. Truthfully, the keteris has to be made only in the Kaidish, in the Azara. But Eisa Hanisen is Lo'um B'Sechar, it's exactly actually like we refer to in that mission itself. We're talking about the Keteris. How does this person have as an estate Keteris? Because it's the Keteris that's given to the craftsmen for their wages. Which, that's what we said you do with this person, who he had it. You said you give it to the craftsmen with their wages. But that person himself, how does he have it? It's because he got it for his wages. Because the Tanya, which actually, the Mishnah Masechta Shkolim that we learned as follows. What are we talking about? Where does this person get Keteris, which was made in the Azara, to be paid for his wages? Why would that be? So the Mishnah explains over there, Maisa Keteris. Every single year, there was left over, at least, there was 3 mana that were extra that the Kohen Gadol would take from when he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because there was 365 for the days of the year. And then there was additionally an extra 368, like we mentioned before. Now, from that extra three money, he would take a fistful. Now, from that fistful, there would still be left over from the extra 3 mana. Now, from that excess, that they couldn't use for the following year, because once Nisan comes, Nisan is the new year for the Truma of the Shkalim, which is from where they take all the things that are sacrificed for the Tzibur. The Torah says you have to buy from the new Trumas, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah of the Zayin Medalf. So that says the Mishnah, Samaha Yoisim, but what do they do with the leftover Keteris? Says the Mishnah, Sohay Mafrishin, they would separate from the treasury of the Bedik Abayis, of the temple upkeep, from their bank account, Schar Ha'umnin. They were craftsmen, people who worked on the Temple Mount. They had to give them their wages. So they would give them money from the Bedik Abayis. Then, Umechal Noisa, then they would deconsecrate the leftover Keteris that they had, which was sanctified, Al Moyes Umnin, on the monies of the craftsmen. Meaning, as long as the Keteris is as is in its sanctified state, you can't give it to the craftsmen, because whatever's fit to be brought on the altar, like these Keteris, it can't just leave the Mizbeach. So you have to have something that you could deconsecrate it on, which is the monies that you gave to the craftsmen. Then you go ahead and you take the monies you gave them, and you give that you swapping it, deconsecrating it, the leftover keteris. But nice and now you're going to give those keteris to the craftsmen for their wages. And then you go buy it back from them with the new monies that you have from the new donations that were given by the machzor shekel of every single Jew for the new year. That's what we're talking about. That's how this person had Keteris. Yeah, you can make it outside. So how does he have Keteris? Because he got it for the wages that he had worked on. And that's what we say, that this person, that when he donates, what are you going to do with it? So then, you're going to give it, what are you doing with it? But again, it's not that it was made outside, it's that he got it from inside. The masculine of Yisuf, however, Yisuf asks on this interpretation. He says, what do you mean, habakulu maysaris tani? There's many different things that there are leftovers. There's karbanas that are left over that have to be pre-checked. Once it comes Nisan, you can't use the old ones. By all of them, it says over there in Shkolim, that they find a way to buy it back with the new trumas. It's not anymore. They deconsecrate, then they buy it back. But v'hacha leitani, here in this halacha, from the fact that all the other ones, it says that you buy back from the craftsmen because you pay them and then you deconsecrate and you buy it back. Here in this halacha, that this thing that are dvam aruin letzibur, it doesn't say that you buy it back. So obviously we're not talking about the bona fide keteris like the way you described it. Rather must be someone that made his own keteris from chulin, and yet still the Mishnah is calling it that it's fit to be a carbon tzibur. And so we said, what do you do with it? So he said, you give it to the craftsman, and then you'll do whatever it is that you do. But that refutes Rabbi Zbechanina, who says you can't make it outside, because if it was the way you're describing it, then we would be buying it back. But it doesn't say we buy it back. So Elam Rabbi Yisrael, rather, gives a different interpretation. He says, be'echad misamamon ha'keteris. When we're saying it's something that's ruined for the carbon of the tzibra as keteris, it's not the fully compounded keteris, because that you can't make outside. Rather, we're talking about one of the ingredients of the keteris that's fit for to be made with the guitars, therefore it has to end up going to the mizbeach. So that's what you do. You find a way with the craftsmen to end up having it being given to the wager. Then they buy it. But the new trumas, you can't take it straight from this person. But therefore that resolves it. It's not the compounded one, because that, like Rabbi Zbichalina says, you can't make it out of the azar. Now, continuing on this theme, turn about Linda Braisa. Keteris ha'isanasas Shin Samech Ches Mana. It was made out of 368 mana, like we mentioned before. That was the calculation we got, because the other ones, like the soap and the yayin and malashin, those are not the herbs, those are not the main ingredients, those are just the to complement them and to make it. There's 368 mana of the spices. Shesa Keneged Yemei Sechama, 365 correlating to the solar calendar, that's how many days there are in the year. Shloisha Mon Yeserin, and there's three extra mana, Shemehem Machnes Kohen Gadol Lechafna B'Yom Kippurim, that the Kohen Gadol would take a fistful, besides the regular Keteris he brought every single day, he'd bring a fistful into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippurim. V'Hashar Neitenes L'Omnim B'Sechar, like we mentioned before, the leftover are given to the craftsmen in the Beis HaMikdash for their wages, Ketanya, which is like we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Shkolim. Meisa Keteris Mayo Isin, but what they do with the leftover Keteris, Mafrishin Schar Omnim, they would first designate from the temple bank account, they would give the wages to the craftsmen. U'Machal Nois Al Mois Omnim, then they would deconsecrate the leftover Keteris on the monies that they gave to the craftsmen. V'Nois Nois L'Omnim B'Sechar, and then they would give the leftover Keteris to the craftsmen for their wages. V'Chais Namalekhin Nois B'Chumas Aleshka, then they want these ingredients, they would buy it back from the new shkolim that they had for the new year that they had to bring the new karbanas, including the guitarists, from. Now, Ketin Tamid Beis, which continues on these halachas, turn around and learn the Meisa HaKetaris, the leftover the guitarists, Achas L'Shishim L'Shim Shana, once in every 60 or 70 years, Hay Mefat Ben Oysa L'Chatzayim, they would go ahead and compound, which we said there was a certain amount they would do, they would only compound half of that amount. Meaning, they didn't have to compound more than half the measurement, because the excess over a period of 60 or 70 years would reach to the measurement of half of the keteris. So therefore, it's sometimes 60 or 70 years or something near that, because it depends on how big is the fistful of that kain, gadol, which is not always the same. So over the years, 60, 70 years, you'll end up having so much leftover that keeps on growing from those 3 months every single year, that'll already be half, but you only have to compound half of that. So the fikach, therefore there's actually a halachic ramification of this, that yachad shapitim lechatzayin kaif. An individual who he compounds the ratio halfway is also going to be liable, because that is, we're saying, you're not allowed to do what's done in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they would also sometimes do halfway. So therefore that's forbidden for an individual to do, and he would be liable for that. Now, Divri Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Sha'ama Meshum Askan, he says in the name of the deputy, Yikon Gadol, says, avashlish v'revi lo shamati, says, but a third or a quarter, that I didn't hear, meaning that they should delay using the excess a period of 80 or 90 or 100 years, which then, if they had so much left over after that amount of time, they would only have to compound a third or even just a quarter of the regular amount that you do annually for the year of the Keteris. Now, therefore, since we didn't hear that they did such a thing, so an individual, if he compounds a third or a quarter, would be exempt, because we don't find that they compounded that amount in the Beis HaMikdash. Vachamim, they disagree. They say, no, b'chol yom misakin b'maskunta. Every single day he could appear according to its measurement, which maskunta is the terminology of the pasuk. What it means to say is, if the kohen wanted to, he could compound the keteres every single day. And he could make it v'yom achnis. And he would bring in the keteres as is that way. So therefore, an individual who even compounds just a mana would be liable. Because a mana is used every single day, half in the morning, half at night. So therefore they disagree. They say no, even a third, a quarter, even just one mana, if a person compounds that exact ratio, it would be chayv, because a kohen could do to just prepare that days on that day. Says the Gemara, say, well, Rava, that supports Rava. Because the Amar Rava said, as the Gemara says, Ketoyres shepitma lechatzayin. Regarding the incense, it was compounded halfway, which the halfway of Rava is also not specific, it just means anything that's fit to be sacrificed, to be burnt, chayv would be liable, the chsiv, because the pasuk says, in Shemais, which it talks about the hakateris ashatasa, the incense that you're going to make, which the pasuk says b'maskunta according to its measurements, leisasu lechem, you can't make that for you. Kodesh teal Hashem has them, but when it says until make, oh va'efshet avda, and that's something that could be served because you could in one month you could have pras b'shachar or pras b'nabayim, half in the morning, half in the evening, and therefore since that's something that could be made, therefore the liability would be even less than a half, even a third, even a quarter, even just one mana for that day. If an individual makes it for himself, would be liable. Now, continuing on these halachas, turn around within the braisa. The keteres was brought back to the mortar where it's ground, where it's grinded twice in the year. That because of keeping it freshly ground. Additionally, in the summer months, they would leave it spread out, that it shouldn't get spoiled. But in the winter months, they would actually keep it piled together, that it shouldn't lose its aroma, its odor that it has, because if you spread out, the we grind it again on every Yom Kippur. Now, Amamar, we had mentioned before that Kishu Sheikhik, that when he was grinding, so Aymer, the one that was standing over, would say, Hatev, Hadik, Hadik, Hatev. Grind it very fine, you should grind it. Now, that supports Rabbi Yechon, and Amar Rabbi Yechon, he says, Kshem Shadibur Alayayin, just like speech is detrimental to wine, as the Gemara brings in Menachas, that Pizayin Men Aleph, that when they were taking wine for the libations, and he would see that the wine that's coming out of the barrel was some sediments were starting to come out. So the treasurer, the one in charge, would bang with his stick to the one who's taking out the wine to hint to him that, without speaking, that already this wine's already starting to be bad and stop the flow. But he wouldn't speak with his mouth because speech is detrimental for wine. Now, the inverse is also true. So to speech is beneficial for spices. And therefore, when they would grind the spice, they actually would be talking to tell him Hadav Hatek. There were 10 spices that were said to Moshe by Sinai, which, as we mentioned them before, the 11 were Tzari, Tziporin, Chelbono, Levaina, Mor, Ketzia, Shabbos, Nerd, Charkam, that's 8. Then you have Kosh, Kinnaman, and Kilufa. Those are the 11 herbs that were said to Moshe by Sinai. Now, really, in the Torah, it only mentions 4 of them. And the truth is, the 11 that we need could be brought whichever one, as long as they are, as we're going to qualify later on, the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, from a klal prat, a klal, that has to be something that has smoke and goes straight up. But there were 11 that were set to Moshe in Sinai. So Amar from this says, Micro, what's the pasuk that tells us this? So it's a pasuk in Shemais. It says, Kach l'chasam, you should take for yourself spices. That's plural, that's tray. Then it says, Notav ushchelos v'chelba. No, that's plus three. Hachamisha, that's five. Then it says again, v'sam spices. That's achrin. Again, it says that, which is correlating to what the amount that we said up until now, which is chamisha, which is another five. Because correlating to the first five, plus again sam, is another five. Ha'asar, that's ten. Well, levoy nezaka, then you have pure frankincense. That's chad, that's one. Ha'chad tzrei, that's 11. That is the Gemara. How do you know that these words that you just expounded are for the calculation of the amount of spices that needs to be? Maybe it's to expound what's called a klal prat the klal, and it's not coming to tell us the amount of spices that are needed to be. The Eima maybe say as follows: samim spices. That doesn't. It's klal. It's a general terminology. Then you have nataf, shechelis, v'chalbuna. That's prat. Those are specifics. Then it says samim again spices. Chaz of a klal. It's again saying a general terminology. So you have what's called a klal prat the klal, general, specific, and general. And that we know from the 13 attributes that the Torah has expounded. Yata Daniel cannot prat. That means to say that you could only qualify whatever is similar to those specifics. And that would tell us, Maha prat before is just like the specifics over those ingredients that were mentioned. Our Davish Kaiter, which is something that gets smoky. Voila, and it goes up like a stick and it doesn't just disperse on either side. Virechinoidiv, and it has an aroma that spreads out. So too, it has to be an ingredient that smokes, goes up, and that the aroma spreads out. And maybe that's what's coming to teach us. And maybe you're going to say, well, Imkain, if that was coming to teach us, so licht of krochad prat, then the Torah should have only written one of the specifics. Why does it need to write those three? On that, the questioner says, no, la'ay mitzvah tzrichi, no, all of them are necessary. Because the ikas of natav, Havamina min ilon in. So I would have thought to say only if it's a type from a tree, which that's what tzari is, the sap that comes out of a tree, that is valid. Because it has to be kain the prat of a giduli karkolai, but if something that herb that grows from the ground, I would have thought not. Veshamachi kasa v'shchelis, that's what it says v'shchelis, which something that grows from the ground. And v'yikasa v'shchelis, if I had said v'shchelis, havamina giduli karkin, I would have thought only if it grows from the ground, of min ilon im alai, but if it grows from a tree, I would have thought not. Veshamachi kasa v'natav. And v'chelbina, the third one, that lagufias, that was coming to teach for itself, because it has a bad odor. So that's coming to tell us, even though it has a bad odor, you consider it part of the Ketaris. But again, how do you know that it's coming to teach us the number 11? Maybe it's coming to teach us klal prat the klal. So that answers the Gemara. Imkain, if that would be the case, that it's only coming to teach a klal prat the klal, then the Torah should not have had to write the first time it says the word samim. Because rather, mikach lecha nafkale, we could have learned it out from take for you, which take for you is also general terminology. That's a klal. Why does it say in the beginning, kach lecha samim, and it also says kach lecha, to expound both? A klal prat the klal, as we're going to explain later on, that yeah, it has to be those specifics, but also it's coming to tell us the number 11. Which the Gemara asks, okay, fine, so it's coming to tell us the number. But ve'ema samim basroi train ninu. But maybe say that the second time it says the word sam is two, kesam kadmai. Just like the first time you say sam, it refers to two, which the minimal plural is two. Why are you saying that it means five? Says Gemara, Imkain, if that would be the case, that the second time sam is also just adding on two, then nichtiv samim sam bahadi adadi. Then it should have said spices and spices near each other, which would have been two plus two. B'seif nichtiv notav eshchelz v'chelbana. And at the end, should have said notav eshchelz v'chelbana. That would have given us a total of four plus three is seven. But the fact that it says it at the end is to say that it's the exact amount of what was set up until now, which was 5, plus another 5, which is 10, then the last one, which makes it into 11. Now, the Rebbe Shmuel Tani, who, as Rashi explains, agrees with the concept that we said before, which also requires, although he's expounding a klal prat klal from this pasuk, he also agrees to the concept, as we said before, that there has to be 11 spices. And it's actually obvious from the way we're going to explain the second half of his statement, Oyeina, which is referring to the number of spices. He says as follows, samim klal, so spices, that's a general terminology. Notav shcheles v'chelba no prat, those are specific types of herbs. Samim chazav kol, again it says spices, it's again a general category. Klal prat the klal, so like as we said, iyata daniel kena prat, has to be like the specifics. Ma prat mefurish davar shekita v'oyla v'recha neidav, just like the specifics all have in common, that they smoke, they are smoky, and they go up straight, and there's a good odor that comes out of it. I've called davar shekita v'oyla v'recha neidav, so to any spice that you're going to bring, also has to be something that has these three attributes. And that continues Rabbi Shmuel, o'yena elo, maybe no. Maybe klal b'chlal rishon, which has to be read like, or maybe the general category is like almost as if said kiklal, like the first, like the first general concept, which we're going to explain exactly what these words mean to say. Ufrat befrat rishon, and maybe the specific is like the first specific. That's what he's asking. Amrit lav, no, you're going to say no. That's not the case. No, you can't qualify to explain this pasuk the way your second option is. Rather, it's like the first option, like we said before, that we have to expound it, that it has to share the characteristics of these three, which is kaiter va'ayla and it's rechenayt. So Amar, so the Gemara comes to explain the brisa. He said in the second half of a statement, maybe no, maybe it's not like the way I explained it. Ella, rather, klal b'chlal rishon. Maybe the category is like the first category. Uprat b'frat rishon, and the specific is like the first specifics. On that, Amr Lavi says, no, that's not the case. Etc. No, you can't qualify like the second option. It has to be like the first option. Says Gemara, my question, what's his question? What was the second option he was trying to say? Says Gemara, hacha kakashili. Hachi kakashili. This was his question. Maybe, and this is like the Gemara says, this was actually what we had asked before, samim basroi trei, when we're saying the klal is kaklal rishon, maybe when it says the second time the word samim, which is the klal, that should mean actually an extra two spices, and that's what we said, that we see he's talking about the numbers also. Kisam kadmoy trei, that it should be like the first time we mentioned the word sam in the pasuk, which we said that means two. So who said it's adding another five? Maybe it should only be adding another two. Had the vishana kedushin in, and that's what he was answering, like the way we had answered in the previous gemara. No, dimkin, if that would be the case, nichtav kras samim samim not tavshachelz v'chalba. No, then it should have said sam and then not tavshachelz v'chalba. The fact that it says sum at the end, it's coming to correlate to the amount that was up until now, which was five, adding on another five, not adding on another two. That's why it says, no, you can't say it the way the second option. It has to be like the first option. Additionally, as the Gemara, my prat befrat rishon, what was he saying? And that maybe the specific is like the first specifics. It says the Gemara, hocha kakasha. This is what he was asking. Mina ilonis, regarding herbs, spices for the katiris that are from types of trees, that yalfa minata, that we says, we're learning out from the specifics I mentioned. We know from nataf, which that's something that comes from a tree, we know that's a valid type of spice. The gedule karkas, it grows from the ground. Yal from mishchelis, we learn that from mishchelis. On that, he was asking, then we should learn that also from the pure frankincense, that either the gerus is the icy or the afila, bechad tzad, that even if it has only one of the characteristics, we should be allowed to bring a spice that, as long as it has a good aroma, like the pure frankincense, even though it does not have smoke and to go up straight. Meaning to say, that was his question, on that saying, no, maybe the last prat, which is mentioned there in the pasuk of Levina, should be like the first pratim, and to say that, okay, whatever's similar to that also we should be able to include, and therefore it would be excluding something that, even if as long as it has a good aroma, but even though it doesn't go up and smoke up, we should say, just like the first specifics, we're coming to include things which are similar to it. Here also, as long as it has a good smell, even though it doesn't smoke and go straight up, we should still include it. Why are we saying it has to be like those specifics, not like the last specific of a Levina Zaka? That's what Rabbi Shmuel was answering. He was saying, no, Imkain, if that would be the case, that we should qualify like the other specifics, then the ingredient of the pure frankincense should have been written in the middle together with all the other, the first prat, the first specifics, and then Metelev Mina. And then we would have learned out from it that it should be similar to that too. And since it's not written over there, that's why he says, Lav, no, therefore you can't learn out from that. Rashi Gemara asked on that, well, that's not a valid answer. Had we written the pure frankincense in the middle together with all the other specifics between the two kolam of samim and samim, having treyasa, then actually the total amount would have been 12 ingredients, because we would have said, okay, it says samim, that we said means two, then it would have been natav, shcheles, chelbana, and levain, that would have been six, and then we said, okay, correlating with the next samim would have been another six, that would have been 12. So therefore, we couldn't have written it together with the other specifics to say that you're going to, because we don't require 12, we only require 11. But maybe really should learn out from it. And the reason why it wasn't in the middle is because it would have upped the amount of the ingredients. So the Gemara, no, Imkain, if that would be the case, you're saying that it wasn't written in the middle because we don't want to add the amount of ingredients. But then, Nichtav Kral Levain Zaka B'Metzi. No, we should have written the pure frankincense there in the middle with the other Pratim, which that would have only told us that there's 11. Because, and then that would have told us that, yeah, even if it doesn't make smoke and go up straight, oh, what do I mean that it's going to make 12? No, because the chelbana lusayif. Chelbana then should have been written at the end, because at this point, the Gemara, we're not learning out anything from the word chelbana. It only teaches regarding it itself. So that should have been at the end, beyond samim. and Levoina should have been instead of that. The fact that it's not is because it's only qualifying Kalal brought the Kalal with what's written in between, which is not including Levoina Zaka, and therefore it has to be like the others, which are Makatav Eila, that do have smoke and do go straight up. That's one approach. Rish Lakish, I mean, gives a different answer. He says, no, Megufa, you know it from the context itself. Because Malosha Ketiris, what is the terminology, what is the definition of the word Ketiris? It's Davisha Kaitav Eilat, something that smokes and goes up. Obviously it has to be that, and therefore it couldn't have been that we're comparing it to Levain Zaka to say that it's something, because that was the question that the Brisa was asking, Prat Keprat Rishon. He's saying, no, from the word itself we obviously know it can't be something that doesn't smoke and go up, because it has to be Ketiris. Related discussion, the Gemara brings Rav Chana bar Bizna, Rav Shimon Chassid, he says, Kol Tainus, She'im Ba Mepeichi Yisrael, any fast that doesn't have from the sins of the Jewish people part of that communal fast, in the Tainus is not qualified as a bona fide Tainus. Why? Shari Chelbana, Rechara, the Chelbana, one of the ingredients of the Keteris, had a bad odor. And still the Pasuk includes it with the different spices of the Keteris to show that the entirety of the Jewish people, the good, the bad, everything has to be in there for it to be considered something that's fine, that's the right thing. Like we said, if it's missing one ingredient, even if the Chalban is not valid, so too, when the Jewish people are doing tshuva, it has to have the sins of the Jewish people too. Bayam Mahachi brings a different Pasuk into Amos that says, Va'agudasai, and his bundle, meaning sounds like when the Jewish people are together, then Al Eretz Yisada, then on the earth he has founded his presence, means to say that it's only when the Jewish people are together, including all the different types, that's the word Tzibers, Tzadi, Beis, Reish, Tzadikim, Bein, Rasham, everyone has to be together to be considered the Aguda of Hashem. Then the Gemara continues to explain the halacha, the Mishnah that said, Vasach B'Shem HaMishcha, another item that's from the 36 creases, if someone anoints himself from the original anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that's a violation of krisis. So we're talking about the Braisa that Hasach b'Shemen HaMishcha, regarding this, of someone anoints himself with the Shemen HaMishcha, so Lebehemah became, if he uses it to anoint an animal or vessels, so Patri is going to be exempt. So to Le'ebdi G'chav Melameisim, if he uses it for a non-Jew or for a dead person, Patri is also going to be exempt. So the Gemara wonders, Bishlam Lebehemah became, we understand regarding animals or vessels, because the Chsib, the Pasuk says in Shemais, Al Besar Adam Lo Yisach, it shouldn't be anointed on the flesh of a person. Now, Lebehemah became Lav Adam, who we know that an animal and vessels are not considered a person. Mesim Nami Patri, we understand regarding a dead person, we would also be exempt, because to keep in the Misli, since he's dead, so Mesim Mikri Velav Adam, it's called dead, and it's not called a person. But Ele Avdi Kachav, Mamai Patri, why if he anoints a non-Jew, is he exempt? Ha Adam Ninu, that's a person. Says Gemara, I know the truth is, Dichsiv, the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Hashem says to the Jewish people, V'atein Tzayni, you are my flock. Tzayni Marisi, the flock of my pasture, Adam Atem, you are man. Which teaches us, Atem Kerim Adam, you're called man, V'einavi Kechav Kerim Adam, but the non-Jews are not called man. And therefore, it's not included in the Yisra of the Pasuk of anointing with the Shem and the Mishcha. Christian Gemara asks, but Vaksif, what do you mean? We have a pasuk in Mamidbar when they fought the war against Midian. Says v'nefesh Adam shisha aser elef. And it's talking about the Midianites. Talking about the soul of Adam of men were 16,000. So you see, they are called Adam even though they're non-Jews. Amalei says, no, hu lafuki behema. That was only to exclude from the animals that were part of the siege that they conquered over there. But it wasn't coming to say because of Adam. It was just to the contrast of the animals, and therefore you can't learn out that they themselves are essentially or intrinsically called Adam. That was because it said animals, so we had to call them Adam. The Gemara split v'ksiv, you have a pasuk in Yoina that says, "Vani loy oches al Nineveh." It says, I'm not going to have mercy on Nineveh. V'goyim, etc., where the pasuk there says, "Ha'ir ha'gedayla sheyesh b'harba mishneim asaribi Adam." I'm not going to have mercy on them, the great city that has in it more than an abundancy of 12 myriads of Adam, of people. So you see that although the non-Jews are called Adam, says the Gemara, no, that was also because it talked about the amount of animals. So the contrast with the animals is called Adam, but they're not called Adam themselves. Everyone says the Gemara, you can answer regarding why is there no violation when anointing a non-Jew, is because the Gitani Tanakh made Rebbe Elazar, like the teacher of Bryce is taught in front of Rebbe Elazar, that kol sheyesh nebesach, whoever would violate the anointing on himself or on others, mean that he's commanded not to anoint from the Shem and the Mishcha onto a non-Kayin. Yesh nebebal yisach. He would have the violation, meaning in the passive state, people are commanded not to anoint him. But whoever does not have the violation of anointing others, a non-Jew who doesn't have the mitzvah of not using the Shem and the Mishcha, so he's not included in the violation of being anointed. And therefore, if a Jew anoints the non-Jew with the Shem and the Mishcha, he's not going to violate this. Now, Tanya, you can learn a different braisim. It's says Hasach b'shem the mishkal, like we mentioned in the previous brisa, some of the anoints with anointing oil, a behema for an animal, for kelim, for vessels, like the kachavim, but not Jews, a mason, or with dead people, pater is exempt. But continues the brisa, l'malachim or l'kahanim, but for kings and for kahanim, where they are those who are anointed, but they were already anointed. And then again, someone goes and uses the shem the mishkal on the king or the kahanim. So Rav Machleik is Remeir Machayev, says, okay, then the person is going to be liable. The Rav Yudah Paita says he's going to be exempt. Additionally, continues the Braisa, but Kama Yosach B'Yechayev, how much is the anointing done to be liable for? So Remeir Machayev, he says, cultural, even a minute amount. Rav Yudah Paita says, no, Kizai is the amount of a size of an owl. Which the Gemara asks in the Braisa, wait, Rav Rav Yehuda Pater, what do you mean, how could he say the amount to be liable is a Kizai? He just said that, actually, if you anoint the Kain or the king who is already anointed, that you're actually exempt. Says the Gemara, yeah, but Ki Pater B'Yehuda Gav Melachim Kahanim. When did you say you're exempt if you anointed a previously anointed king or a kain? Got beheaded mechayev. The price is going on a regular person. They were qualifying on a regular person. How much has to be anointed to be liable? On that, he says, it's the share of Kizayis. So the Gemara says, Remei Rabbi Yehuda b'mai pligi. Regarding what are they disagreeing about? So Rabbi Yisrael says, b'ha pligi, it's regarding this that they disagree. Remei Yisrael, he says, he holds, al besar adam le'yisach k'siv. The pasuk says, on the flesh of a person, one should not anoint Hashem in the Mishka. Now, k'siv, it says in the following pasuk, v'ashiyit memen al-azar, that will be given from it onto a foreigner, someone that's not supposed to be anointed. Now, from the two pasukim, we learn out, from the first pasuk, that ma'asich ha'kosher, just like anointing, is even just a minute amount, because we never find a requisite measurement of anointing. Saf nesin ha'kosher, so too also the next pasuk, it talks about placing, is also a minute amount. Which the chiddush in that is, although as we're going to shortly explain, that generally nesina giving means a kezais, but here it compares it to the pasuk right before, which toman sicha, which doesn't have a measurement. So also the placing on the zar is also just a minute amount. But Rabbi Yehuda Saba, he held yalfina nesina dal zar. We learn out this pasuk, which talks about the terminology of placing on a foreigner, nesina dalma from in general when the Torah talks about placing. Now man nesina dalma kezais, just like generally giving placing is the size of a kezais. The way we know that, because we learn that where it says v'nastan la'kayin es ha'kodesh, which refers to that someone has to compensate the kayin for the to pay up the kodesh, which refers to someone who ate up his truma. It says v'ish k'yechal kodesh. Now, it's talking about what he ate up. That is what he has to v'nastan give to the kayin. Now, generally, achila refers to a measurement of a kezais. So you ate a kezais. So what you're giving to the kayin is a kezais. So you see when it says v'nastan refers to kezais. So you see, in general, Vinasra refers to Kezias. So after the scene, the Dalzar Kezias, so to hear the placing on the foreign of the Shem and the Mishra is going to be the amount of a Kezias to be liable. Now, but explains the Gemara, but regarding the general anointing of the Kayan and the Melech for the first time when you're supposed to anoint him, they're Hakol Kosher, they're everyone agrees, Sicha, the regular anointing, is even just a minute amount, is qualified for the Meshicha of the Melech and the Kahanim. Now, regarding the other machlokes in the Braisa, Rav Rabbi Yisrael says, "But my pligger Meir Rabbi Yehuda, regarding Rabbi Meir says that you can be chayev. Rabbi Yehuda says you can be pater. Gabe malachim v'kahanim. If someone anoints a previously anointed king or kayin, the Rav machlokes is be chayev pater. What are they disagreeing over there? So Rabbi Meir Saba he held. It says in the pasuk, "Vashiyitim emenu azar." It says, and if someone's going to place from the Shem and the Mishka on a foreigner, now umelach v'kayin hash dezam nenu. Right now at this point, the king and the kayin. For the Shem and the Mishka, they're considered foreigners because they don't need the Mishka. They already were anointed. And therefore, they're considered a Zar to this Shem and the Mishka at this point, and therefore one would be liable. But he held, no, you have to be a foreigner from the beginning to the end, that you were never eligible for the Mishka. But the king and the kain, in the beginning they weren't Zarim, because we find in the beginning they were anointed. So even though now that it's not necessary, that would not be for the liability of anointing on a Zar. Amar Vika Bered Ravami, he says, Vazel Tamayi, that this same machlekes we find elsewhere, machlekes Remei and Rabbi Yehuda. Ketanya, which actually Mishnah Meseftes Trumas that we learned, as the Gemara continues to have a Zayin Manalf. Mishnah talks about Bas Kohen Shenissus Lisrael. The daughter of a Kohen has certain unique halachas. Now, if she gets married to a non-Kohen, now, she doesn't have any more the halacha of eating truma. She's not a single girl in her father's house, she's not married to a Kohen. But let's say V'achle B'Truma, she does eat truma. So Allah is Meshalemes HaSakir, she has to pay back the principal. She had no right eating it. But Ve'in Meshalemes HaSachemesh, although generally a regular non-Kohen who eats Truma has to pay up a penalty of an added fifth, she doesn't pay that penalty because she's not a Zara, she's not a foreigner, because she ultimately still is a daughter of a Kohen, and she was never desecrated, because there's nothing wrong with marrying a regular Yisrael. because if, let's say, her husband dies and she marries a kohen, she's then allowed to resume eating truma. Or if, let's say, she doesn't have any children and her husband dies, so then she actually goes back to her father's household to continue eating truma. So she doesn't have to pay the fifth. Umisasa b'sreifa, and like a bas kohen that's mezana, who gets a unique death penalty of sreifa, this bas kohen will also get the misa of sreifa. But nisis le'echad min apsum, if she gets married to one of the people that she's not allowed to get married to, who invalidates her, then she's like a zara. Meshlem is karen v'chemish, if she eats truma, she'll have to pay the principal and an added fifth. Umisasa b'chenik, now she'll have halacha if she's mezana, like a regular Jewish girl, not like a special bas kohen, where the death penalty if she's mezana is by strangulation. That's the remeir, that's the opinion of remeir. Because that's remeir according to the opinion we mentioned just before, because although in the beginning she was not a zara, she was a bas kohen, but right now she is. And you could become now, because she was pasul, she became mechalelis, by marrying one of the pasulim. But the chachamim, the sages say, which that's Rabbi Yehuda, who is always the disputant generally of remeir, no, achazu v'achazu. Either one, whether she married a bona fide Yisrael, or she married someone that's pasul tar, Meshalemis HaKeren, if she eats truma, she's only going to pay the principal. Ve'eni Meshalemis HaKeren, she's not going to pay the added fifth. U'misas v'sreif, and her death will always be by being burnt, because he requires that the person has to always be a zar, and this bas kohen was not originally a zar, and therefore she does not become any more a zar. Now, one more qualification, the Gemara says, Amar Yisiv, which we had referenced before, says, Machlekes ben Nesin Hashem HaMishcha. Their whole Machlekes was only regarding the placing of the anointing oil. Like the answer that we gave before, which we had explained, that the reason of Remeir is simply because the Pasuk compares it to Sicha, to anointing. And just like anointing has no requisite share, like we say generally when you come in to be Moshech, a Kohen, or the Melech, it is, a minute amount is going to work. So when the Pasuk talks about the placing on the Zar, so that's what he said it's going to be, oh, so those are going to be a minute amount, where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, that has to be the share of Kizayas. Al Nesina Da'amo, but in general, the terminology of placing in other places, in other contexts, like for example, when it says regarding the Michas Chayte, the sinner's flower offering, it says, Li'itno le'levayne, they now put on frankincense, they're called kezayis. There, everyone's going to agree that in general, Nesina means a kezayis. Whereas we mentioned before, we learn that from Benasin Lakayin Sakaydish, which Gemara explains in Mitzvah Zimnachas and Abnon Testament base, generally means a kezayis. It's only here in this context regarding the placing on the non Kayin, that was their machlekes regarding if it's going to be kezayis or kolshu, because of a special teaching that he's learning from the previous pasuk that's going to be even a minute amount. But again, what we're saying in general, like Rabbi Yehuda learns even in this context too, Nesina generally means to say the share of a kezayis.